Welcome to Faith and Good Counsel, where we talk about ways to live a virtuous life and all of the things that affect us in our vocation, in whatever state of life we may be in. And now your host, Stacy Galena.
Hey everybody, it's such a pleasure to be back with you again on Faith and Good Counsel. I'm Stacy Galena and very, very happy to be joined by my co-host today. She is back. Erin Franco, the Humble Handmaid. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Stacy. It's such a pleasure to be back.
Yes. Just, I love sitting by you, talking to you, and I'm just so thrilled about our topic today and just to be with you and to share with our listeners the good news that we have to share today through the grace of God. And it has to do with marriage, you know, service in marriage. So before we actually jump into our topic, though, Erin, and announce our guest, I just want to remind people to check us out, the Faith and Good Counsel Show. We have a Facebook page. I love hearing from you there. I love receiving your messages. And if you want to send me an email here at the station, please feel free to do so, escalino@catholiccommunityradio.org. Both Erin and I have a blog. Erin's is humblehandmaid.com. Mine is stacygalino.com, and there you can find some of the past archive shows and et cetera. And I'm working like a little slow tortoise to get all those on there. You're so patient with me. I appreciate you so, so much. And we do want to start our show off, as we do each and every time, Erin, with prayer. And so let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail, Holy Lady, Most Holy Queen, Mary, Mother of God, ever Virgin, chosen by the Most Holy Father in heaven, consecrated by Him with His Most Holy Beloved Son and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. On you descended, and in you still remains all the fullness of grace and every good. Hail His palace, hail His tabernacle, hail His robe, hail His handmaid, hail His mother, and hail all holy virtues who, by the grace and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are poured into the hearts of the faithful, so that faithless no longer, they may be made faithful servants of God through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lady of Good Counsel, pray for us. Well, we have a delightful guest today, Erin, don't we? And someone that you know.
I do. Her name is Katie Seba. She is a dear friend of mine. We actually met through our blogs a few years ago. We found each other's blogs, and somehow through commenting and email, we connected over the phone and found out that we were kindred spirits.
Awesome.
So she is a dear friend of mine, and she is a beautiful Catholic woman, and she is here today talking about service in marriage. And what she and I, both 6 years into the marriage gig, have learned about how to divide all this labor and get everything done and choose love and stretch as a married couple. I did want to add also, she has three beautiful boys and a little girl due in November. Is that right?
Yes.
In November.
Right. And we want to welcome Katie to the show. So hey there, Katie Seba.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What
I appreciate
a pleasure.
It.
What a blessing and a pleasure. And I'm just so looking forward to today's show, because I know I just love the JP2 generation, which I believe myself to be a part of from a very early age. I'm much advanced in age over you ladies, but I learned so much from you. So I'm looking forward to the program today, Erin.
So Katie, your blog is The Catholic Wife at thecatholicwife.net. You've been writing for several years, I know, on there, and you write on family, marriage, parenthood, and really have an audience there that is very loyal, and I think that you really bless a lot, and you bless me with your wisdom. So today, we brought you on to talk about what you have learned from day one in your marriage about getting all of these things done and having your cake, too. In marriage.
Yeah.
So can you kind of start us off and start day one? What did you think marriage was going to be like, and what was it like in the early days, and kind of what has been you and Andrew's story?
Well, from day one, I think my expectations of marriage were a little different from what it has turned out to be. Not to say that it's been, you know, I haven't been surprised in bad ways, of course, not at all. But when the wedding is over and all of the hype and buzz and preparation of the wedding is finished and reality settles in, and I remember us being in our tiny studio apartment having a little tiff over spaghetti and then realizing, wow, this might be hard, what we just signed up for. And it was just, it was nothing, you know, our little disagreement. So I think my expectation of marriage is that it would probably be the same as what our relationship had been. Something changed. You know, we experienced big change. Even 2 weeks after the wedding, we got married in Omaha. But 2 weeks afterwards, we moved down here to Shreveport to start a brand new life with brand new newlyweds and new careers and all of that stuff. So everything was brand new for us. And I think, as will happen in any marriage, there is stress that comes with change. And when we had so many changes coming, there was a lot to cope with and deal with. So we really had to learn how to rely on each other and lean on each other a lot more than I think we expected. I think we expected to live maybe autonomously, because that's what we had been doing before. But, you know, when you move in with your new spouse, I mean, everything is just, oh, you squeeze the toothpaste from the middle. Oh, I do it from the bottom. You know, little things like that. So I think it was a surprise that we had to rely on each other so much more, and realizing that we had to be more responsible and especially taking care of each other spiritually and emotionally.
So, Katie, you're talking about day one from marriage, and I'm just curious. Thinking, I guess, with the listener's ear here, and I'm wondering, what was, just very quickly, the dating experience or the courtship or the engagement experience, where were you coming from that then now day one was a little bit different? Do you know?
Yes. Well, our dating and courtship engagement, all of that, I think was pretty different. We had met when he was a senior at Benedictine College, where we both went. I was a freshman, and after he graduated, we kept in touch a little bit here and there, and then we started keeping in touch a whole lot, and we started dating while I was a sophomore, and we dated for 10 months before he proposed, and then we were engaged for 16 months, and the duration of all of that was long distance, because he was a youth minister in Colorado Springs, and I was a student in Atchison, Kansas.
Wow.
So we weren't actually living in the same city until, I think, a year or so before the wedding. We were engaged for 16 months. So, and that was when he moved to Omaha, where my family is from. And I was in Omaha for the summer. So we had 3 months, maybe 2.5, of living in the same city, and then we were long distance again. So, after the wedding is really when we stopped being long distance,
And then the babies come along.
Yes. Then the babies came along. No, they didn't come right away, which was a surprise for us. Again, we expected to be able to have kids right off, but we tried for a year and finally had our little boy Liam. And so, yes, the babies came, and with babies come more stress, more responsibilities, and more relying on each other. So that was our basic, in a nutshell, our experience of dating and engagement and all that was far apart, and then visiting when we could.
And, I know Katie and I have talked about this before, the kind of our cultural idea that marriage is going to be the 50-50 kind of a gig, and that you're both going to put in 100%, and we've read the books before we got married and had kids that it's going to be hard and we're going to have to give a lot. But that is a hard lesson to prepare for, because you can't really prepare for it when you're in the moment and you have to choose to stretch like you do. So when did you kind of start having to learn that lesson the hard way, as all marriages have had to do from the beginning of time?
Well, I think I had to start learning it right away, but I don't think I really got a good grasp on it until maybe last week. And that's no joke. But just like what you said, it is a cultural thing. It's the American way. Things are 50-50. You do your part, I'll do mine, and the end product will be a joint effort. And while marriage does require that joint effort, you cannot take that idea of fairness and impose it on your marriage, because then it's no longer fairness, because you do have to both give 100%, 150%. And sometimes your 150% looks like nothing because you don't have much to offer. You're tired, or you need your husband to carry you, or you have to carry your husband. So I think that's a difficult idea to realize and grasp, but it's entirely necessary. You can't get through marriage without embracing that idea of, okay, it's my turn to be the strong one, or it's his turn to be the strong one. And I think that if you were to, try to circumvent that responsibility, then it's just going to end up fueling resentment and bitterness and anger, and it'll just poison the marriage.
And inevitably, okay, because of the fall, sometimes envy and anger and bitterness creep in, because we get really proud of our 111% in that particular moment, right? So
yes.
What do you and Andrew do in those moments to try to, to fight that concupiscence, to fight that sin, in order to keep the authentic love and peace and joy within that sacramental marriage relationship that you have?
Right. Well, I think it is a challenge, just like you said, to not get too proud of yourself when you're carrying the family, or to even feel guilt if you're the one being carried. And so in order to fight off that sense of pride or that sense of guilt, it is about embracing the reality of this is what we need, or, being able to communicate what we need from the other one, what your expectations are. And they say, and the ways of staving off resentment and pride and all of that stuff, all of the ways that you do it, they're all tried and true. It's not going to be anything new. Making sure that you're maintaining that communication with your spouse, which is the most important thing you can do. I mean, it doesn't have to be a sit down 45 minute to 2 hour conversation. It can be just a brief, hey, I'm having a hard time today. Can you help me out with this? Or I have to run to the store, and if he's struggling, he might say, great, will you take all three kids, or will you take two kids, or whatever?
Sure.
I know, right? No problem.
Yes, I'm all over that. Thank you for asking me.
It takes a constant effort of bending over backwards, and a lot of it is denying myself. That is my biggest struggle. That's my biggest obstacle in warding off resentment and pride.
Well, I think, Katie, that would be a struggle for all of us. And I want to pick back up, if Aaron and I, we could pick back up with you after the break, on that denial of the self, that taking up the cross for our beloved, for the other. I'm Stacy Galino here at Faith and Good Counsel with my co-host today, Aaron Franco, and we are talking with the lovely Katie Seba, blogger and writer at thecatholicwife.net. We're going to be back in just a few moments on our show, where we're talking about service in marriage. Be right back.
Live it, love it, defend it. Life needs you today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Verrett with Louisiana Right to Life.
In some African American communities, there are more babies murdered from abortion than allowed to live. For every child born, three are aborted, doubling the rates among whites. Niece of the late civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr., Alveda King said, "Abortion and racism are evil twins, born of the same lie. Where racism now hides its face in public, abortion is accomplishing the goals of which racism only once dreamed. Together, abortionists are destroying humanity at large and the black community in particular." Alveda King and others like her in the African American community are mortified that many abortion clinics are strategically placed in areas of high minority populations for one purpose: to limit the birth of minority children. Alveda asks us, "How can Martin Luther King's dream live if we murder our children?" Visit us at prolifelouisiana.org to find out more about black genocide and abortion.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Stacy Galino here with the lovely, the beautiful, articulate, heart of my heart, Erin Franco, the humble handmaid, who is my co-host today. So happy you're here, Erin.
Thanks, Stacy.
And we are talking with our guest, also beautiful, lovely, and articulate. You need to check her out on her website, thecatholicwife.net, Katie Seba. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I would add that Mrs. Katie Seba is also a two-time Catholic Press Award winning writer. She's a fantastic writer, guys. Definitely check out her blog. And she writes for, is it the Catholic Connection up in Shreveport?
Wow.
Yes. It's our diocesan magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On marriage and family. She's awesome.
And we could all use that, those pearls of wisdom and that advice. Whether you've been married, what, 6 years, 30, 40, 50, what have you, we can all use that.
So before the break, we kind of ended on the idea of denial of self in marriage, kind of that love is a choice. Katie, kind of what were your final thoughts on anything that you've learned about that in 6 years of marriage?
I think the best way, like I was saying before the break, the best way to keep resentment at bay and to guard yourself from bitterness toward your spouse, especially as you're trying to juggle the demands of marriage. There's work, there are kids, there's a house, all sorts of things that you're trying to juggle, really just life in general, while trying to maintain yourself spiritually and physically and all that stuff. There's so much going on. So while you're trying to help each other through life in marriage, it's difficult to find a balance. You know, how do you carry each other? Is this going to be a 50-50 deal or what? And I mentioned that you have to carry each other sometimes, and it takes a lot of denial of self in order to let yourself be carried, mm-hmm. or in order to carry your spouse and your family. So, for example, like I'm a doer. I'm a go-getter. When I have my mind fixed on a project or really anything, I want to pursue that and give all of my attention to it. I would say I'm a control freak, but I don't want to call myself that. So whatever a nice way of saying control freak is, that's what I am. So it takes a lot of denial of self for me to let myself be carried and to not get too hard on myself. For example, my father passed away in September of last year.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you. And it was really, really difficult. You know, the months since the months after were really difficult for me. Where I just was unhappy, I was depressed, I wasn't functioning at a normal level, I could barely muster the energy to even think about doing laundry, I couldn't really write very well, I wasn't, just generally speaking, I wasn't happy, and I wasn't praying, and things were not going well for me. And mm-hmm. during that time, Andrew carried our family. He carried me. He was patient with me. He was understanding. He was always ready to say, "Hey, I see you're having a hard time. Why don't you get out? You know, why don't you leave the house? Or why don't you go do what you need to do? Or what can I do for you?" And he was always ready to deny himself anything that he wanted to do, any plans that he had, in order to pick up the slack from where I was. And that was really hard for me to witness, because I thought, God, I know he's pulling extra weight, and I know it's not fun for him. And my side, it wasn't fun for me either. And so it was difficult to allow it to happen. And there have been times when the roles have been switched, when he's bogged down with work and he has a lot mm-hmm. going on, and so I have to carry him, carry the family. So marriage, when you get married, you become a team. No matter how you regard yourselves, you are a team. And sometimes you can face things hand in hand together. But sometimes, like in our young marriage, a lot of things are a relay race where we're passing the baton back and forth to each other and being like, okay, you've got it. Like, thank you so much because I just ran my heart out and now I need you to do it. So I love that analogy. I love that idea of, you know, you're still working together as a team, even mm-hmm. when one of you is running and the other one is being carried, you know.
Yeah. I love how Katie gives us an example of her husband stretching and carrying the family. I think that that points to a lot of character in you, because I can think of 10 or 20 or 30 ways I've stretched in my marriage lately, and you choose this one. So I think that says a lot about you. I think one thing that I wanted to go back to a little bit is you had that great point that you've got to keep up that communication with your spouse. What do you need? What's going on with you? And I think you and Andrew do a good job of that. I know y'all are involved with domestic church, and one thing that you do mm-hmm. at domestic church is you talk, you know, at least once a month, you make sure you cover issues that you need to be talking about. But I know that you and I have talked before about how sometimes you can have two good-willed spouses who are trying very hard to communicate with one another and communicate their needs and trying to help each other, and you're just not even on the same planet of the discussion, you know. And I wish that I've heard from all of my older friends that gets better with years of marriage, but does it, Stacey?
Yeah, it does, but there will always be challenges. There always mm-hmm. be challenges. And so I don't want to answer the question for Katie, because I want to hear what she has to say, but I'm kind of holding on to my seat because I'm trying to be quiet and let you talk. I have a lot to say on that subject.
Well, I'm sure you have all sorts of morsels of wisdom on the subject. And I'm in my brief experience when Andrew and I, again, just like Aaron said, when we're both good intentioned, when we're trying to pray for each other and for our marriage, but we keep hitting those communication roadblocks. One of the best tips that I've ever received and realized is to just keep the conversation brief. So if you're having a conversation about your expectations and your needs, and it's on the brink of a fight or it's in the middle of a fight, sometimes it's just best to close your mouth or get out what you need to say, like, I need 10 minutes of alone time, and then just leave it at that. Because sometimes the more you talk, the more you defend yourself, the deeper you dig yourself.
It's like a swirling tornado.
And that is...
That's just me.
I'm sure you just know that from other people's experiences, Erin. clearly, we three have no problem in this area, I'm sure.
I know. Oh, my goodness. And it's, you know, for me, talking is how I process. So if Andrew and I are communicating, I'm like, okay, sit down so I can communicate. And it's, I hope you're comfortable. So sometimes that's a challenge for me, but it's absolutely necessary. You know, Shakespeare said that brevity is the soul of wit.
Yes.
So if you want to keep things safe and sane, sometimes you just get out what you need to say, keep it brief, and then you go from there. You know, I've heard too, you know, never go to bed angry. Sometimes I think it's good to go to bed angry because you need the rest, you know, or you just got to take a break from whatever difficulty you're facing. So
when the sun shines tomorrow, that sometimes it looks a little different, you know.
Yes, but you're
giving really beautiful advice, because what you just expressed is I process as I talk, is I think what you said. Women are very relational. Everything is related, where men are more compartmentalized. And so they do need us to communicate with them, especially if it's important, in short, you know, focused communication that they can process. And that's a whole other show that we'll have to do, but that's a big generalization, but it really is very helpful. And I like that advice. So
Katie, and just speaking of little bits of wisdom here. There is one thing that you have given me as a friend, a little bit of wisdom that I wanted you to share. And it's about, I think you call it putting your rose-colored glasses on. I'd really like you to explain how you do that.
Again, it's another challenge, but absolutely necessary. Andrew says that I'm blessed with having either rose-colored glasses or my wedding goggles on, is what he calls it. Because I can look at him, and even if we're fighting, I'm still like, but I'm crazy about you. Your face is still my favorite thing to see. I mean, and no matter how much we get under each other's skin, I'm wild about him. I think he's great. So, which again, you know, that can be a challenge to maintain. When you're constantly measuring everything your husband does or everything your spouse does, you know, and when you're trying to juggle everything in life, you know, work, kids, et cetera, everything that we mentioned before, it's really difficult it's very easy to say, well, I did all of these things. I checked off these tasks. Now you should do your part. And it's easy for me to kind of keep a scrutinizing eye on the things that Andrew does. And like, well, he didn't do it right, or he didn't do it all of the way, or he didn't complete it. And I'm measuring everything he does, or I'm holding him to an unfair standard. And when I'm doing that, when I'm criticizing everything that he's doing, like how he handles the kids, or, you know, how he works or how he is, whatever, then he always comes up short. There is never a time when someone is applying negative criticism, there's never a time that you'll be like, oh, well, you know, I think you're right. I think that person is fine. Mm-hmm. No, I think my husband, wow, he really did exceed my expectations. Because if you're applying negative criticism, then your expectations are way too high to begin with.
Sometimes you
have to put on your rose-colored glasses. You have to forget the negative, because let's face it, husband, wife, both of us have an overabundance of flaws that we could talk for days and days and days about.
Right, right. There's so much that we could speak about, but you know we're running against that clock. I hate to interrupt you, Katie, but I want people to know how they can get more information from you, how they can follow your wisdom at your blog site and at your other publications. Can you tell us how people can get in touch with you?
Sure. You can follow my blog at thecatholicwife.net, or even shoot me an email, thecatholicwife@yahoo.com. And then I write a monthly column for Shreveport's Catholic Connection. It's their diocesan magazine, is published monthly.
Oh, well, goodness. It has been such a blessing to have you with us, and such a blessing. And I'm so grateful for us to be able to be with you, our dear listeners, each and every week here on Faith and Good Counsel. I love hearing from you. So please email me or check us out on Facebook. Let us know what else you want to hear about. I know it sounds like we need to do a male and female husband and wife communication show. I'm all over that, girls. Are you?
I'm all over that.
Yeah,
definitely.
So
I just can't contribute yet.
Yeah, we need to do that, because we remember always that we have responsibility for our beloved, okay? So let us always approach our beloved spouse in that way. And so it's been a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, and thanks, Katie. So we're going to see you hopefully next week. Please tune in with us again on Faith and Good Counsel. Until that time, Pax Christi, y'all. Bye-bye now.